Good morning, everyone. Thank you for those responses. Chab's going to be speaking about the Holy Spirit as a spirit of truth. And I'm not sure about you, but we have lots of things we believe, some of which are true and some of which are not. And so one of the things that I find as a gift of coming together is that Jesus is present and he challenges us and he presents himself. I am the truth. I am the truth. And we get to align ourselves again with Jesus and with truth. For those of you who are not aware, 9:30 Sunday mornings, we gather for prayer in the room that's just off the entrance there. So if you're free in Sunday mornings and like to join us, the advantage this morning for me was I got to hear just a teasing tidbit from what Tab was going to be speaking on, and so it got me quite excited to hear what she has to say.
All right, this is going to be interesting. So we're in a series called God With Us, and we're focusing just on the Holy Spirit. And the first Sunday after our Love and Devotion service, Scott talked about the Holy Spirit being a gift, that's what he's referred to in the scriptures. And today I'm going to lean into that a little heavier, but really it's all about knowing him, the Spirit of Truth. And so I was at my parents' last weekend, and Mom said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "The Holy Spirit." She goes, "Uh-oh." I said, "Uh-oh, what?" She goes, "Oh, you're going to be bouncing off the chairs." The Holy Spirit is very, very, very precious to me. But as I was getting ready to do this, actually, it was like through the night as the Holy Spirit was on me, because one of the practices that I do, and it's something I've taught my kids ever since they were little, is we practice his presence. We invite him to come. And I tell the kids and my own children, and it's my own practice, that when I crawl into bed, I ask the Holy Spirit to come. The scriptures say that Jesus tells this story, a parable, really. He's talking to people, and he says, if your kid comes to you and they're hungry and they ask you for bread, you're not going to give them a stone, are you? And then he says, and if they ask you for meat, you're not going to go and give them a snake. So if you who are evil can give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father give his Spirit to those who ask? So this morning we're going to ask, right? We're told, you have not because you ask not. We're also told, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so we're going to ask. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, we're told in the scriptures. And he is sent to us by Jesus. He comes out of the Father's heart and he reveals what is on Papa's heart for us. So let's pray. Let's ask. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are a great Father, that you know what our needs are before we even ask you. This morning, we are asking that through your Son and in his name, you would send your promise, the Holy Spirit, to be amongst us, upon us, and within us in greater measure. And may your Spirit of courage and might come upon your people, that they find that you were only waiting for them to ask. We pray that in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. All right. Scripture says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's found in Revelation. That when we testify of what Jesus has done, the Spirit goes forth with a presence. And somebody put it recently when I was talking to someone, you know, think of that movie, The Green Mile. Remember that movie, The Green Mile? If you haven't seen it, it's a very interesting movie. And this lovely man, when he talks about the Spirit, or the Spirit comes like these beautiful little sparkles that go forth. And that's a great picture, narrative of what the Holy Spirit does when we testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He testifies of Jesus and therefore gives us the ability to testify. We've heard many testimonies about Jesus. Today, I come to you with my own personal stories to testify of the Holy Spirit. Before we talk about him, you must know, while he is powerful and the power that raised Jesus from the dead, he is not just a power. When we talk about him, he's not just an essence. He's not just a manifestation, but he is a real person. He has a personality that has a will. Scriptures tell us that he gives out gifts as he wills to people. He is a personality who has thoughts and speech, intelligence. He comes and he speaks to his people and has throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. There are so many. And Revelation begs us and pleads with us that if we would have ears to hear him, that we would listen. I don't know about you, but I got two ears. Do you? I tell the kids regularly that we are perfectly designed to encounter the Holy Spirit and encounter God. Two eyes that we might see him, two ears that we might hear him, a nose that we might smell him, because he does have a fragrance. Hands that we might touch him and sense him. Our body, our epidermis. You ever get goosebumpies all over yourself? It comes with presence, and he has a presence. If I were to sit here and tell you about Jeff, I wouldn't have to write a sermon. I could tell you about how we met, the first day we met. I could tell you stories of things that unfolded. I can tell you our journey without me having to look it up. I can tell you the outcome and the fruit of that journey. Four children, two grandchildren on this side of heaven, two on the other side that are waiting for us. There are cheerleaders in our welcoming committee, you know. And I don't have to explain these things to you. I instinctively know when he is near and when he is far. Sometimes I can finish his sentences. Sometimes he finishes mine. He knows my favorite flower. He can read my expressions better than I can. And I can also read his. I know what are his passions. I know what are his drivers. I know what are his fears. I know what gets him upset and frustrated. This level of intimacy is actually what God designed for us to be in relationship with the Lord through his Spirit. I'm going to open up to the book of John, starting in chapter 14. Scott read this scripture last week, John 14, 17. I'm going to read it in its context. It starts in verse 15 and goes to verse 17. Jesus is talking, and he says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Let's unpack that for a minute. This scripture starts with an if then. Okay, let me unpack this for you. If you love me, then you'll obey my commandments. And as a result of you loving me and obeying my commandments, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to pour out upon you a presence, a helper. I'm not going to leave you alone. The helper is going to come to you. He is the Spirit of truth, and he's going to lead you into all truth. But not everybody can receive him. He's not for the world. He's for my lovers, my children. The scriptures go on to say in other places that once he is given to his lovers, he is attached to them forever, never being separated. Forever is like, I don't know, eternity? And he is the promise. He is the one who seals us and carries and ushers us forth into the promised land. He dresses us for battle with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, courage, might, truth. This is the Holy Spirit. But you also got to know that while he empowers us and is attached to us, he is the new covenant. That's what he is, the new covenant with us. We are now merged together as one, bounded together like a marriage. And we become one with God, the Father and the Son, through the Spirit as a result. We must learn to spend time with him that we may sense his presence. We must quiet ourselves so that we can hear his voice as lovers do. He has a very tender heart. He can be easily quenched. He will not trample you over, avoiding your free will. He may come upon you, but you are the only one who can allow him in you. And once he is in you, that's where transformation takes place and new creation unfolds. The question we must ask ourselves is, do we know him? For many years, I didn't know him. I was a child and I loved the Lord. I did. I drove my parents crazy, begging them to take me to church. I loved being at Catholic Church. I loved feeling the presence, but I didn't know him. For many years, I did not know him. Occasionally, after I became a believer, I would get these sensing sometimes. And it was like all of a sudden my body would go in goosebumps. But I don't know about you. When you're in the world and they tell you that your body's going up in goosebumps, they tell you somebody's walked over your grave. At least that's what I learned in Catholic school. Anybody else hear that? Right? And so you discredit that and you go, ooh, weebie-jeebies, somebody's just walked over my grave. Right? It scares you. And so I was getting this thing when I became a believer. I was 16 and I gave my life to the Lord. I loved Jesus. I loved the Lord. Let me tell you, I fell in love with God in the Catholic Church. I learned to reverence him there. I loved him there first. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, although I did not know them intimately. At 16, I gave my life to the Lord. At 16, something began to change. My bedroom in my room had no overlight lighting because that was my choice. My dad's an architect and he designed our rooms, and I said I didn't want overhead lighting because it bothers my eyes. So I wanted just my little lamps around the room. And I'll never forget the day when I met the Holy Spirit for the very first time. It was the day that I gave my life to Jesus. On that day, I realized I was struggling with a relationship from school, and I was so angry. I was so angry. I don't know about you guys, but like I can flip onto angry really fast. Hosea says our hearts are like an oven that burn hot, and I can flip into anger so quickly. And I was angry that day, and I realized that there was only one person who could make sure that in my anger, I would not harden my heart to people or to him. And so I prayed there in my room. And my room, which to me was always cold, became very, very warm. And the lighting in there lit up. Something supernatural happened in that space and that time where I yielded my heart to the one who could keep it safe. And then I sensed a presence. It was the first time that I encountered the weightiness of God upon me. Have you ever felt that? Has anybody felt the weightiness of God upon them? Is there anybody who has never felt the weightiness of God upon you? Our bodies respond to the Holy Spirit. Our spirits respond to the Holy Spirit. You could be feeling electricity right now. You could be feeling just warm waves. You could be feeling peace. You could be in tears. You could be feeling a little bit of laughter. You could be feeling weight, like your body is heavy, like you're sinking into the chair or into the floor. This is the presence of God. And when we turn our attention, our affection to him, he responds. God desires for us to know him, but we can choose not to engage. There were many people who followed Jesus. 5,000, 4,000, he fed them with bread and fish. On one occasion, as he multiplied the bread to feed the people who had been following him and knew of him, after they ate the bread, they wanted to make him king because he had satisfied their hunger. And they chased after him, and they were going to secure him and surround him to make him king if he would continue to satisfy their needs. But they did not know his heart. And he was grieved by that process. They didn't understand. It's not on my heart to be raised up as king right now. It's on my heart to give you all that I am. And in giving you all that I am, then my presence, my spirit will be in you and on you. And you will eat from me, and out of you will come living water that will not stop, and it will flow out to the rest of the world. This was on his heart. They thought they knew him, but they did not have a heart-to-heart relationship with him. Jesus wants to be king. He really does. But more than king, he wants to be lover. Jesus tells a parable about soils. Seed that is cast out, which is the word of God. Did you know that one of the names for the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit is the word of God? The word of the Lord, or the word, is a gift of the Spirit. It can become as a word of knowledge, a word of understanding, you know, a word of comfort. But the word itself is a fruit or a gift of the Spirit that is poured out upon his people. So the seed is cast out, Jesus says. The Spirit is the seed, because seed, we grow it, and let's pretend it's wheat. It makes our bread. It's what satisfies us. And we cast it out. He has gone out because of Jesus' death into and amongst his lovers. However, some things come and actually take away what is there for them to have. Some of it might be spirits. Scripture talks about the spirit of error versus the spirit of truth. And you can find that in 1 John 4:6. And the spirit of error is spoken about in Timothy. But the seed goes out. Spirits come and take away the seed on the path. Thorns rise up. Rocky soil happens. And the scriptures say that these thorns and this rocky soil is cares of the world. And they choke the things of the Spirit. But then there is good soil. And that reaps a reward. When the seed matures, it overcomes. We are called to overcome spirits. And the spirits can prophesy. The spirits can tell you things about the future, but they're not necessarily the spirit of truth. How can I say that? Let's go back to Exodus. When the signs that Moses was producing were coming about, the first three were replicated, correct? Three of them. Spirits have power, limited power, and they can reproduce, they can sound like the Holy Spirit, but not all are the Spirit of Truth. And therefore, the Spirit of Truth looks like something. First of all, it confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. The Spirit of Truth always testifies to what Jesus is doing. The Spirit of Truth leads you into truth and also guides you into the Word. The Spirit of Truth looks like something. You will grow in more love. You will grow in your joy. You will grow in your peace. You will grow in your patience. You will grow in being faithful. You will grow in being gentle. You will grow in self-control. And you will grow in your goodness. The spirit of error is the spirit of the world. And you know, when we were going through More Than Conquerors, I talked about these two lenses. And the spirit of error is always cocooned and wrapped in selfishness. It is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It sees what's wrong with people and tears them down. It lies to you on a regular basis. It will betray you constantly. It is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. It has no self-control. When the Holy Spirit first came on me, I knew something was happening and there was a shift that was going to take place. Well, let me tell you what I did. I was at school. I had given my life to the Lord just recently. It was June. School hadn't ended yet. I was in grade 10. I was at school and I called my parents. And I said to my parents that I had been smoking. I wasn't smoking a lot, but I was smoking. And after the Holy Spirit came on me, I felt like this was wrong on so many levels. One, it was harming my person, and he now lived in me. And in harming my person, that was one thing, but two, I was lying to my parents. Do you remember that day, Mom? And I wept on the phone as I confessed my sin before my parents that I was smoking. It wasn't a lot. I was getting those cigarettes from my uncle. He didn't know it. I was stealing it from him. So there's something else, right? But now I was aware that I wasn't by myself anymore. And I was sharing space with someone who was like, hey, you know that thing that you do, that smoking thing? I don't like it. Can you stop that, please? And because I already had a love for God, it was a natural yielding to a yes. Sometimes it takes me a little longer to bend over. Like when he asked me to dread my hair, I had a major meltdown. I am a child of renewal. Jeff and I started attending the Toronto Vineyard 3 weeks before renewal broke out. So I go from a Catholic church to a vineyard for 3 days to something completely different. This is when I encountered a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. And rather than his presence occasionally like little soft goosebumps, this is when my hearing and my seeing and all of my feeling kind of just opened up. Now, I was already an annoying child. Ask my parents. I saw things and I felt things. And my mom can tell you stories of me jumping into a water fountain just so she wouldn't go into a store because there was bad stuff in there. But I didn't know the presence until he came and rested on us that Sunday morning in that depth and that level of intimacy. We went deeper in our relationship. At first, I had heard about him. Then I became acquainted with him. I met him for the first time. Hi. Hi, how's it going? Nice to meet you. I'm Tab. He's like, I'm Holy Spirit. Nice to meet you. And then we started hanging out. And then he's like, hey, you know that thing you do, that smoking thing? I don't like it. Can you stop that, please? Oh, okay. Okay. Because we're working on friendship, right? And then all of a sudden, he comes on us with such fervency and passion that I was overwhelmed and captivated. And that's when we became lovers. And in so loving him, I had two choices. I could fall into lust with the Holy Spirit, wanting his power to satisfy my own need, or I could fall in love with the Holy Spirit, which would require me to yield and become vulnerable on a regular basis. The very first time that I went to the woman's retreat that our church held, on the way home, the Lord asked me, Tabitha, do you love me? And I said, yes, Jesus, you know I do. And he said to me, okay, this is going to hurt. And what I saw was him take my rib cage and turn it inside out. And so all the protective stuff was in the inside, and all of the vulnerable stuff was on the outside. And the Holy Spirit, in engaging with him, is a spirit of vulnerability. He is vulnerable with us, and he requires that we would be vulnerable with him, and therefore vulnerable with others. But we can choose not to be turned inside out. We can choose to still walk in our protectors. We can choose to hold him at bay and just be confident in knowing of him or being his acquaintance. Or we can choose to love him. While I was doing my scripture reading on the Holy Spirit, one particular scripture really shocked me. And I share this with you because it arrested my attention. And it has to do with Saul, King Saul. King Saul was anointed to be king over Israel when Israel wanted a king. He was their first king. And the first time he goes out from the presence of Samuel, he's told that the Holy Spirit's going to come on him and he's going to prophesy, and it does. And he prophesies. And he has this encounter where the Holy Spirit comes on him and he's laid out. He gets up off the ground and Samuel says, he's going to change your heart. And he did. He changed Saul's heart. Saul was reluctant to step in as king. The Holy Spirit revealed through the spirit of prophecy everything that was in Saul's heart. And then came upon him to anoint him for the job. But then afterwards, as he's going along, something happens. And Saul entertains something different, a different spirit, the spirit of jealousy. And as he entertains the spirit of jealousy in his own heart, he now is fixated in partnering with that which wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's now going to kill, steal, and destroy David. Saul gets wind after some time that David is with Samuel, hiding from Saul. Saul sends messengers to go get David. As the messengers approach, the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of truth and the spirit of prophecy, falls on the messengers, and they are on the ground prophesying, and they don't leave. They don't come back. Saul goes, I'll send another set of messengers. Team number two goes out to go get David. Same thing happens. They don't return. Third time, he sends them out. You think by the third time he would have gotten it. Hey, maybe you should stop this? Same thing happens. He sees the miracle of God, the prophecy of God, the Spirit come upon them, arrest them. They start to prophesy, those who could not prophesy. And he still doesn't get it. Partnered with the spirit of jealousy, he is bent on being right. That he himself gets up to go. He gets up to go, and as he approaches, guess what? The Holy Spirit comes on him. He's laid out in the Spirit for 24 hours, all night and all day, it says. He prophesies all night and all day, naked. Exposed, completely exposed. I don't know what he was prophesying, but the presence of God was on him. And when he got up from that floor 24 hours later, the presence of God was not in him. Nothing changed. He still sought to kill David. So we can ask for the Holy Spirit. We can seek for the Holy Spirit. We can have him manifest on us. And being a Revival Kid, man, I saw tons of people laid out on the floor. Tons. But unless we open up our hearts to that relationship, give our time and attention to practicing his presence, being our time and attention to know his heart, to know his word, to have him speak to us what is on the Father's heart, to reveal the truth about our own hearts. And if we're not willing to yield and transform, nothing changes. And we get up off the floor or get up out of the presence of the Lord. And let me tell you, he's here. Every Sunday morning, he's here. Every Sunday morning, he is here. The question is, will we open up the door and let him in so that he will transform us? The fruit of the Spirit are the measures of the depth of that engagement with him. We can choose to swim on the surface, or we can choose to come deep underneath the water and have a whole other experience. Scott tells that story often about things rocking and rolling on the waves, his first dive and how terrified he was. And then he gets underneath the water and it's just like, wow, it's peaceful, it's still. And wow, the beauty to behold. Saul knew the presence of God. He was anointed. We've been anointed to carry the presence of God. But if I'm using F-bombs every day, that doesn't sound like him. If I'm stealing from my neighbor, it doesn't look like him. If I refuse to be generous, definitely not him. If I'm going to hold on to judgment and jealousy, sorry, not him. If I'm going to think myself better, not him. And we can get up off the floor. The Holy Spirit could shake this building that the whole city would know. But it wouldn't make a difference if we're not changed in here. The reality is self-awareness is a very hard thing. And it's a very painful thing. Wisdom does not come without grief, nor does knowledge come without pain. Balaam prophesied over Israel. And when you read that story, do you know the first two times he approached to prophesy, he used divination to get to God, to get the word of the Lord? And it worked. And God allowed it. And God spoke to him through the process of divination. But then it says that he saw then the third time he goes up onto a different mountain to go and, you know, curse Israel. He saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. So guess what he decided to do? Wait. No more conjuring up. He waited. And the Lord came and spoke to him. We must test all spirits, all words. The spirit of truth will lead us if we will humble ourselves to hear. In that scripture that I read in John 14, this is also the first time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned as a helper. Did you know that the spirit of truth and the helper go hand in hand within the scriptures? When the helper is mentioned, the spirit of truth is mentioned, either one verse or a couple verses down, but helper and spirit of truth, they go hand in hand. He is our helper. He helps us to know Jesus. He helps us to know the Father's heart. He abides with us and in us, and we can recognize him. He guides us into all truth and discloses what is to come. He is constantly glorifying Jesus, and he takes what Jesus has and gives it to us. And by the way, everything that Jesus has is from the Father and is the Father's. He testifies. Some of you have heard this story before. I had four kids. I was in my 30s when all of a sudden I started having these weird manifestations happen. And I went to the hospital and they did tests. They put me in a CAT scan machine and tell me I had something in the middle of my brain, not to be worried about it. And then they do some other, put me in an MRI, and they say, oh, you have plaque on your brain, and it looks like you're developing MS. So MS runs in my family. I have cousins with MS. And when I heard it, I poo-pooed it. I'm like, I don't have MS. You don't know what you're talking about, right? Until one day, one evening, I am sitting in bed with Jeff. We're watching a movie. And I start to feel something on my leg, and it's bugging me, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, and it's just like, I just keep touching it. It just felt really weird. It was a sensation I hadn't felt before. And when the movie was done, I go to step out of my bed, and I can't actually move my leg. And I sit there, and I go, Lord, what is this? And the Lord said, this is multiple scars, Tab. If you will allow me to heal the trauma from your childhood, this will not overtake you. It developed and got a little bit worse to the point where my mom was coming from Oakville to come take care of me and my kids because I couldn't really go anywhere. I couldn't really walk. And so this is where my relationship with the Holy Spirit changes again. I would roll out of my bed, lay on the floor, have my Bible near my head, and ask the Holy Spirit to come. What felt like someone touching my hand here in the palms of my hand, literally both hands, and pressing into the ground, and I went, Lord, what is that? He said, it's okay, Tab, it's just me. And I laid there on the floor for a long time. This became my practice. Roll out of bed, lay down on the floor, come Holy Spirit. It started like this. Eventually it grew to be like this, until my arms were feeling his presence so mightily. Then it started on my feet. And the more I did this over the months, it came up my legs till it got to my chest. And it felt like, have you ever emptied out a 2-liter bottle and then go to fill it with water? You know how it's so light And then when you, as you fill it with water, it kind of gets really heavy. It felt like that. There was a weightiness on me, but there was also like a heat. And it felt like sometimes like my heart was just going to burst out of my chest. And we stayed like that for a long time. And I just rested there for a long time with his presence. And he would always pick up from where he was last. So if he was like covering my whole arms, the next time, as soon as I said, "Come, Holy Spirit," my whole arm was covered. It wasn't starting at the beginning again. And the more I practiced this, the quicker it became that I was in the presence of the Lord. Being the Spirit of truth that he is, understanding just my next sentence that I'm going to say, I'm a kid that comes from trauma. And when you're a kid of trauma, you carry a couple of things. One, a victim mentality. Two, it's everybody else's fault. There's more things, but I'll just leave it at those. And the reality is that as I laid in that space for weeks, just doing the same thing, come Holy Spirit, and him covering more of me quicker, one day I hear a whisper. And the whisper was this: Tab, I want you to open up to Ephesians 5 and 6, and I want you to start praying Ephesians 5 and 6. Have you ever read the book of Ephesians? It's all about relationships. It's all about dying to your justice, dying to your lens of victimization, dying to the lens of it being everybody else's fault. And I sat there for weeks, Ephesians 5 and 6, praying through Ephesians 5 and 6. Why do I tell you about this small voice? Because when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes, things happen. I've seen people shake. I've seen people cry. I've seen people laugh. I've seen people do some really silly things. I myself have done some really silly things that I cannot explain. I won't even try. Your physical body reacts to the power and the presence of the Lord. The prophet Elijah was fearful. He had just done a miraculous work. Fire came down from heaven. He just prayed, and fire came down from heaven to take up the offering in front of all the people of Israel who were worshiping Baal. And then Queen Jezebel, after he kills the prophets of Baal, she threatens his life, and he gets so afraid because he thinks he's alone. He thinks he's the only one, and he runs into the wilderness. He runs a very long time back to the original mountain, Mount Sinai. Or today it's called Jabal al-Laz, Mount Jabal al-Laz in Saudi Arabia. And you can look at it on Google Earth if you want to do that. And so anyways, there's a little cave up there, and he climbs this mountain. And along the journey, he's had to be sustained by angels to eat. And so when he gets up there, God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he says, "God, I'm the only one. You know, I've been faithful to you, blah, 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 blah." He goes on this little rant. And God says, "Come on out here. Come on out of this cave. Come on out." And as he comes out, he starts to make his way to the entrance of the cave. A few things happen. Three things. And then a fourth. There's a wind, and I might not have them in order. A mighty wind. A gusting wind. Like the treetops are blowing, if you can imagine, kind of wind. Blow your hair back kind of wind. Hold on to something kind of wind. It is an external force, and it is manifesting. There's fire. There's an earthquake. All of these things are external things. They are manifestations, shaking of the Holy Spirit, moving manifestations. But God was not in those, the scripture said. And then came a still small voice. And when he heard it, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He stepped forward. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to go and anoint Elisha to take your place after you're done. The Spirit of Truth tells you the end from the beginning. Always revealing things to you on a regular basis if you're willing to hear. But don't get caught up on the external. Elijah was able to discern that God was not in the manifestations. He was actually in the inner voice. So while praying Ephesians 5 and 6, the Lord gave me a dream. And in that dream, I saw that I was about to be attacked by a bear. Next morning, all hell broke loose. Have you ever had something happen where the Holy Spirit reveals something to you and then you find yourself in that moment? Before Jaden went to hospital, we got a word that Christine's feet were about to be taken out from underneath her. And we started praying. He gave us a heads up. The Spirit of Truth will give you a heads up all the time and equip you for what you need. So, is he in you? Do you know him intimately, or are you caught on external manifestations? What's in your heart that needs to be purged and purified, repented, and cleansed? Is somebody stealing your seed and you're unable to overcome in certain areas? Ask the Father to send the Spirit in the name of his Son, and he will empower you to overcome. Are you yielding? Are you spending time in here? How is your fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Are they low-hanging? Or are they way up high that nobody can eat them? He is in you to sanctify you. Stop your smoking, stop your swearing, stop your this, stop your that. That's not good for you. I love you so much. Please don't do that. Right? He's in you to sanctify you. And he's on you to encounter others. Lord, what are you saying about this? Lord, what do you want to heal? Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? How should I pray? And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, who knows your heart and the Father's heart, also does this. Intercedes and groans and aches for you. He matures you if you will lean in. He equips you if you will wait for him. And he will flow through you the more time you spend with him, so much quicker. Every time I talk about the Holy Spirit, I instantly feel him on my hands. There's so much more I could have said. Pages and pages I wish we could explore together and unpack. But we don't have the time today, nor do you have the attention span. I encourage you to spend some time reading your Bible, track the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. If you have given your life to the Lord and he is your Lord and Savior, please know that the Holy Spirit is in you and wants to work through you. You are not alone. You don't have to conjure it up. All you have to do is stop and listen. It's by faith that we hear. It's by faith that we act. And so that faith, which was a gift given to you in order that you could receive the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, is the same faith that allows the Holy Spirit to flow through you. If you have never given your life to the Lord, then you can consider if that's something you want to do. And if it isn't, that's fine. And if it is, then we want to pray with you so that you can have the helper come, walk alongside you, guide and direct you, encourage and uphold you, strengthen you in the difficulty, affirm you, and speak sweet nothings into your heart and mind.